What am I supposed to say again?
What kind of podcast is this?
Oh, this is Bad Playstyle. We're a video game book club podcast wherein we talk about the video game we played this week.
NSFW?
Yeah, we swear a lot, and we're going to fucking spoil the shit out of this game.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about secrets?
Yeah, we're going to ruin all the secrets.
Such as?
Such as Bastil is really your mom.
I said dad.
Doesn't matter.
Welcome to Bad Playstyle, or welcome to Guest Playstyle. Yeah. My name is Matt.
I'm Owen.
I'm Conky Bong.
I'm Aaron.
Okay, and Conky Bong, aka Keenan. Keenan, why is that happening?
Because I won the prize of not finishing Fallout 2.
No, it was Fallout 1, and yeah. It's not that you didn't finish it. You didn't finish it. You finished it in a way that offended all.
Yeah, no, okay. And that's fine.
So that's cool.
I've accepted my penance.
All right.
As Conky Bong.
And that's not really a thing we do anymore, but, you know, it's happening. Whatever. Welcome to the show. We played Ape Out this week. Yeah, but before we get into that, there's so many other things we need to do. Ape Out's not really a game you can spoil. Hey, Aaron, welcome to the show. Fuck are you?
My name's Aaron. I've known you three ding-dongs
for a long fucking time.
I've known Owen since kindergarten.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I've known Matt since middle school.
You were in 7th grade, I was in 6th grade. That's when we met.
We're in the same grade.
Nope.
No, he's a grade younger than us.
Fuck. And I know Keenan through...
He's 2 grades younger than you.
These two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I work at a company called Bay Ray Spaceship, and we make dumb garbage.
Cool. Do you have pluggables? Let's do those at the
beginning. Is that like on brand that you make dumb garbage?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, fully on brand.
Do you have like, where can people find you and that shit? Like, what do you want people to know about you?
My Twitter, which I use as my personal trash can, which is...
It's a very good Twitter.
Thank you. GDNWS_. Probably you'll find me under Good News if you just search Twitter.
Yeah.
And then
it's like a purple face right now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
And then I also work. I've been working on a fighting game for the last 4 years. So,
which is called
Cerebral. Yeah. And you can find that at cerebral.in.
Okay. That was the one I really wanted to get to. Okay, cool. That's my favorite one.
Why did you use in?
Cerebralin.
Ah.
Yeah.
Shame.biz. Come on.
Also, like... our Twitch handle if you want to come see us on Twitch on Tuesday and Friday.
Yeah. I saw that there was some new character art on one of my favorite guys, Tack Knight. The other day there was some new like animations and stuff. I was pretty excited about that.
Yes, he has been completely reworked.
Okay. Yes.
The entire character was redone from scratch.
Wow.
All right.
So that picture friend of the show Steven has on his wall, not accurate anymore, right?
It's like weird cool concept art now.
It's probably still, well, his gameplay is different.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily the character design, but the design.
Yeah. Yeah. So we actually got in Game Informer recently. And I sent them some screenshots, and they cropped them in the worst possible way they could have cropped them. And I sent them, key art that had, Helen and Susan and Tack Knight and then, the logo on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And they just straight chopped off the logo on the bottom and chopped off Tack Knight's head. Terrible. It's so bad.
I mean, this is a company that employed Dan Riker for a while.
That's
so
true.
I mean, I will say pagination's really hard, but it's not that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Jeez. Wow. Okay. So, you know, before the show, we went over the schedule with Aaron here, and he said he did something stupid. That's the first thing we're going to get into. We're going to humiliate you.
Bought a stupid thing.
Oh, yeah.
What was the stupid thing you did?
I didn't... buy a stupid chain.
That's more Conky Bong Keenan.
Okay. Yeah, no, you didn't have to buy it. It's cool.
I fired up Dota again to play Dota Auto Chess.
That reminds me, I have shit for you.
Alright. Please, I cleared out all my Dota shit, and I don't know if I want more of it. I will say my Dota investment paid off, because I had about $700 worth of Dota items in my account, and I sold them all. And then I had like Steam bucks for, yeah. for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
When you flush like, oh, Steam game. Money, yeah. 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 No it's a good deal. Feeling yeah. to be like, this cost me nothing. Yeah.
Hey, so I'm not like none of us are like Twitch goblins. What the fuck is Dota Auto Chess?
Alright, so it doesn't have a goddamn thing to do with chess.
Sure. I mean, I figured that was the Love case.
It. Other than that, there is a chess board.
Sure.
So it uses Dota heroes, and you get a random pool of them every round. And so you start out, you pick
Wait, is
one
it
hero.
Just like turn-based ARAM?
No.
Okay. Sorry. No. Sorry.
It's far more auto than that.
Okay.
So you basically get to buy characters, and you place them on the board, and they... there are...
Is it PvP?
Yes, there are 8 players in a game, and each round it randomly pits you against another player. And it sends their heroes over to your board, and then whatever you both have, they automatically attack each other, and it sort of resolves, and then you either you win or you lose, and you get cash out of it.
So it's just like a team composition face-off, right?
Yeah, it's like...
Did you ever play Desert Strike for StarCraft 2? It was a
right,
community
exactly.
map.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly like that. So it's a lot of like figuring out, okay, I have a demon on the board, and who else has demons on their boards, and I need Anti-Mage to counter all of the demons, and you actually, it's interesting because...
Andy's my favorite.
Good old Anti-Mage.
Yeah, he's good. It's interesting because you can actually... lose, and that's a strategy because your money multiplies. So even if you're losing, you still gain money, but you're making an investment in yourself by losing.
Okay.
And then you can suddenly like reinvest.
Some venture capital blood yeah. magic.
You can reinvest all of that money after you've made all that cash into leveling up your player or buying more units.
Sounds immoral.
Yes.
So you like you take the loss and you try and turn it around.
Yeah, totally.
Through that mechanic.
Totally. Okay. It rubber bands pretty heavily.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's nice. I like rubber banding.
Yeah.
Except for in Counter-Strike.
It's real frustrating and I hate it, but I keep playing it.
Well, it's like Dota.
Yeah.
Honestly, that sounds like it pretty much describes your relationship with video games since I've known you.
Sure, yeah.
Like, it seems pretty typical.
I have 3,500 hours in Dota of just pure torture.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. just sticking a nail in your arm and dragging it all the way yep, to your
absolutely.
Elbow. Right? Just, geez. So, okay. Well, that sounds pretty stupid. You did qualify. Okay. And since you're the guest, what have you been playing lately? Besides Dota Auto Chess.
Well, so I work a lot. So I mainly get to play video games at work. And the video game that we've been playing at work is Windjammers.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
The new one?
No. Windjammers 2, I think, just has like a 2019 release or something. But okay. it's not out yet. But we're waiting for it.
But like you regularly play video games before they're released because you're some sort of wizard, so I wouldn't put it past you. But anyway,
not anymore. I used to. I wish I still had like the good hookups. I sometimes do, but yeah, it's just Windjammers all the time.
Okay. It's I mean, like whatever.
Yeah, it's like
if there's a thing to do all the time, you can do a lot worse. Yeah,
that's a great fucking game.
So like sometimes a group of people will just get stuck on a game. Like I definitely understand that. I work with middle schoolers and I bring my laptop to work. I understand that.
Yeah.
So
I feel like, you know, like 3 o'clock rolls around and someone makes eye contact with someone else in the studio and they're like
Pokemon style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
It's Windjammers time. Yeah,
that was ping pong at coding boot camp. We'd all get stuck and like you, me, go.
Yeah. And I feel like there's a lot of tech in Windjammers that I didn't realize was in it, like blocking and frame perfect throwing and
I suck shit at Windjammers. Like I've played against people who are enormously better than me and I don't understand what the fuck is going on. Yeah,
there's quite a bit of depth in it.
It's got a lot of
a sports game, there's a lot going on there.
It's got a lot of weird fighting game tech in it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean there's a reason why it keeps showing up like as side tournaments at bigger tournaments for fighting games. So yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Better alternative to Weapon Lord.
Speaking of games we've been playing, I've been house sitting at my parents' house, so I can't play Twitch games. Like, I can't play Twitchy games because the cat will come bother me every 10 mm-hmm. minutes or so. And so I finally got XCOM to a point where it's modded, like, just, it's cooked to, you know? I did that thing where I beat the game and then immediately booted it up again and started it over.
Yeah, so for your benefit, Aaron, our last episode, the assignment was to play XCOM 2.
Right.
And, like, Matt beat the game and has been playing it ever since. Yeah.
And so I finally was like, let's do Iron Man. Let's see what that's like. And it's been great, and I've been doing really well. And there was this one period point where I was, like, trying to click on some stuff that was an elevated platform over squares you could be on below, and the mouse was, like, flickering between the two, and I didn't notice. And this, I had my sniper guy, like, run out into the middle of nowhere, activate a pod on the last move of the turn, and be like, everybody shoot me! And then the robot mech was like, I got jet boots, jet booted up there, and just, like, one-shot someone else, right? It wasn't even that guy, it was a different person entirely, so it was like, oh, okay, cool. And that guy was like, I'm fine. Like, he didn't even die, and, like, this other person died, because
That was a very XCOM moment.
And I started playing Iron Man, because they released that, like, video of the spokesman, Kato, like, chastising someone for reloading their save, I was like, yeah, I mean, like, that's, he makes some fair points about, like, you have to, like, learn from your mistakes, but it's like, I really didn't feel like I made a mistake there. I really feel like the game screwed me
over. Well, I mean, what... You still learn from your mistakes from reloading your save.
Sure, but it was like, but you learn different stuff from playing it on Iron Man, is, I guess, what I was trying to, I was trying to ascertain if that was true, right? Like,
is Iron Man permadeath?
Iron Man is every decision.
It's a single save, and it auto saves after
mission. Okay.
That's every decision, not even every mission.
Really?
Anytime you do anything, it saves, yeah. So, yeah, that's what I'm playing. Just fucking XCOM. It's great. Daniel Jackson from Stargate is a skirmisher in my game. He looks really great with those big-ass gauntlets on his
head. I can see it.
Yeah.
That's a weird pick.
It is super weird. Well, it's all random. It's like, I didn't pick that. It was just like, it did it.
Because he's a fucking nerd.
He is a nerd, yeah.
Tell your Egyptians wrong. That's what he does.
Yeah.
Me or you?
What have you been playing, Keenan?
I've been playing...
That's not his name.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Conky Bong.
So I continued back to PUBG by myself a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I played a little bit, too.
They added some shit.
I'm also interested in going back. I've been playing a lot of Apex, so I want to know what it's like now to go back to PUBG.
It's cleaner.
They murdered my two best sons.
Yes, they did.
They took my two favorite SMGs in the game and switched their damages and ammo types. Okay. So neither of them feel right to me anymore.
The Vector and the UMP are odd.
Yeah.
If you're like used to old school.
Yeah. The UMP is 45 ammo now.
It should have.
And is high damage. And the Vector is 9mm now and is low damage but has bigger mags now.
And their shooting patterns are totally different.
I found that not so much the case.
I don't like the way either of those guns feel anymore.
Using the Vector, it felt like I was using the old Vector, but just people didn't go down the way I expected them to. So, like, it kind of just feels like they took out my two favorite guns and put in two different guns, which fucking sucks, goddammit. Like, I loved that little future gun.
Yeah, I had a game the other day where I got a clean kill, and the dude didn't touch me, and I was like, I remember how this felt.
Yeah.
And they added, like, weapon mastery, which...
Oh, I haven't looked at that yet. That's weird. That seems dumb, because
I don't care about gun charms.
Yeah, I don't want gun charms.
If I want that, I'll go play more Siege. The other thing I've been playing, because I haven't been playing a lot of games, I bought Mortal Kombat 11. Is it 11?
Yeah. Yes, 11. No, I read it. It's 2. It's Roman numerals.
I bought Mortal
two.
Kombat. We're fucking time up this time, and it's pretty cool. I don't understand Mortal Kombat fighting game timing. Bad at it. But I was like, you know what? Street Fighter V is still a garbage fire, so I'm going to buy this and play it. And it's cool so far. I like it. The ninjas are still cool.
Do you find the like insane slowdown for gore time to be in the way of the gameplay at all?
Kind of. I mean, like, I've been playing single player only, so like I haven't really had like that match flow or anything.
Sure.
And that's already like everything's kind of slow. I'm playing on like medium just to get through the story.
What are you talking about?
Well, like,
it does, like, slow-mo gore.
Yeah, like, the x-rays and stuff. Yeah. Which I think are still in. It's like, yeah, let's stop the whole game for 30 seconds so you can watch someone's rib cage get kicked in.
For the 8,000th time. Yeah. Like, you know, like, I've seen these things two times in a match yeah. and I'm done with it. Yeah. Like, yeah. And I haven't, like, dove into the options to see if I can just pull that or what. It'd be cool if you could just speed it up like it was normal
it's
stuff.
Weird. It's almost like the flow of a video game is important.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, it's cool. It buffers moves weird, which I still have to get used to. Like, it does this thing where you can time everything out way before, like, even the first move is done. And as long as you hit it in the right rhythm, it all triggers.
Yeah, just key it in.
Yeah, so you can, like, buffer up huge combos, and as long as the timing all makes sense, it all just goes. So yeah. There's this weird, like, autopilot feel to it after an input. Like,
I remember that from Injustice. You could just go like, beep, boop, beep, boop, 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 and then your combo comes
out. Yeah.
That seems weird.
It's like a weird, it's like a recipe, and then the animation happens for 4 more seconds, yeah, and exactly. You're like, this is weird. I don't know how this works, and like, I don't know how to interrupt that.
Raises the question, should people from Chicago be allowed to make fighting games?
No.
Yeah, I think the answer is no, yeah.
Yeah, like, it doesn't, it's weird. Like, I don't feel like I can interrupt a combo in a way that I'm used to in, like, a Street Fighter game or something. Like, it's basically you take turns, and that's okay, but, like, if I don't know how this shit works, this is gonna be rough, you know, like.
Yeah, it was like, didn't we do this with Marvel vs. Capcom?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I mean, from approachability standpoint, it's a lot easier to play.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you know, when you get into Street Fighter, it's like, okay, I'm going to spend many hours in training room just getting the timing of each
thing. I'm going to learn this kick.
Thing. Yeah.
This single kick.
I feel like I've never seen any fighting game that felt at all approachable to me. Like, even the ones that are, like, that I've been told is like, oh, this is a good onboard for you. Yeah. Like, even when Rising Thunder existed, I played that, like, a little bit, and I still, like,
I mean, even Rising Thunder had its super tight timing. Like, it had simple inputs, but you still had to know how the combo rhythm was.
Yeah, yeah. But,
yeah. Fighting games are weird.
Yeah, it's true.
They're a fucking weird beast.
Yeah.
You know, that's, like, all I've been playing.
When we play Smash Bros. At work, the kids always want me to play. They're like, Mr. Matt, play Smash. And I'm like, no, that game sucks. but then every so often, I'm like, sure, we'll play Smash. And I turn it on so that everyone dies in one hit. And then I play Wario, and I just drive the motorcycle back and forth on the bottom of the screen. And so even if I lose, I have won, yeah, right?
You're playing the game you want to play.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, occasionally I'll get ambitious and try to fart on somebody, right? Sure. Yeah. But that's about where I'm at with that. I don't think we've gotten to Owen yet.
No. I've spent a lot of time these last couple of weeks playing video games. I've played hardly any games.
Yeah, that's my life.
Yeah, I mostly just played RimWorld, which is really good. I did a strategy in it that I've done a lot of times where you dig into a mountain and sort of entrench in there. But this time, to manage the happiness of my colonists, we became the weed colony. Where we grew, like, enormous amounts of marijuana.
He has, like,
don't you mean smoke leaf?
He has
it's called smoke leaf.
It's called weed. He has 6 benches in a room that are just for rolling joints.
Yeah. So, like, in RimWorld, like, a lot of the way you populate your base is, like, when people attack, you can capture prisoners, and you can eventually convince them to join your colony. So we got this person to join our colony who is, like, horribly addicted to psychite. Which I don't know what that is.
One of the nanite drugs.
Maybe I don't think so. That's luciferium.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that's real bad.
Some of the drugs seem to have analogs to real drugs and some don't. Psychite sounds like bad news. So she was like fiending for this shit and was miserable about it when it was starting fights and just beating people up, and this is like when my base started becoming the weed colony. Yeah. It's like, okay, doctor's orders, you gotta smoke every day. You can't fight people like this. This cannot
happen. You need to chill.
Yeah. So, like, the best part is, like, if you create a scheduled, like, use of it, they will go to the hospital and get in a hospital bed and wait for the doctor to come and administer it to them.
What a reality.
Yeah. And so, she eventually overcame her addiction. Which is great. She's now a functioning member of society, except that she's horribly in this, like, big, like, marijuana addiction, I guess, or just, like, has built this enormous habit of it. and she will routinely get so stoned that she drops her gun and just leaves it wherever it was, and will, like, pass out and have to be hauled to the hospital.
And, so you have, like, half a colonist.
Yeah, and so this happens so much that when raids inevitably happen, it tells me, a raid is happening, tribesmen have come and are attacking your base, and I draft everyone into the military and tell them to go up to the sandbags to go defend the base from attackers. And there's, like, three people who I have to not send there because they're pacifists and won't pick up a weapon. And then Stevenson, the woman I've been talking about, inevitably, since the last time we had a raid, got so stoned she lost her machine gun. And so I have to go pick her out of the list and tell her to get off the front line because she's just up there with no weapon.
Like, stand there, wait, what?
Yeah. And he, like, you can just imagine the conversation with the colonists, but they're like, Stevenson, where's the gun? It's like, oh, man, I don't know.
Like, you got baked and lost it. Yeah.
I lose all hand strength randomly.
Yeah.
It's inside somewhere.
But I don't know. That game's still what it is. I like it. It's like it's a light version of Dwarf Fortress for me.
Yeah, same here.
The sim in I save scum a bit in that game, and doing that really exposes how not complex the simulation is. Mm-hmm. Where, like, I've had, like, a raid attack, and, like, something just goes really fucking wrong, and I load my save that's, like, from immediately before the raid, and then, like, something complete... You'll also have a raid-like event happen, but it'll be completely different. Mm-hmm. And so it's very clear that the game is, like... It's like
pulling stuff from a table.
Yeah. The game... That it's not... That it's simulating other societies, and they're sending people over. It's that the game is like, ah, it is bad event time. Let us pick from the bad event table. Yeah. So now you have a Tyranid infestation in the basement, or you have... robots come, or a poison ship crash lands. Right. But, like, it's very clear that, like, it's just picking from this random list, and just even seeing that makes that whole game...
It's like no progression.
Well, that's what we said when we did our Rimworld
episode. I know, I'm just kind of rehashing what we said in our Rimworld episode, really.
Save scumming makes those holes even larger.
Yeah, it just kind of bums me out, but...
I mean, that game was made by one person.
Yeah.
Like, that it is what it is impressive.
Yeah. Hey, man, Dwarf Fortress is made by two people.
Yeah.
It should be half as good as Dwarf Fortress.
It is.
Yeah,
it is. Anyway, that's all I've been playing, really. That and, like, a bunch of Pokemon Go, but, like, there's nothing interesting to say there.
Yep.
Pokemon on my phone. All
right, so this is the part of the episode where we talk about how we're going to spoil the deep and complex narrative of Ape Out.
We're going to spoil the game that tells you what it's about in its name.
Yep, exactly.
Yep.
So, I suppose we should start with...
Who do you think the ape was, really?
I think there were different apes. That's my take on it. How far did you get in the
Real
game?
Real Friends of the Apes, we found along the way.
I got through the second disc.
Okay, so you beat disc 2 and you're on disc 3?
Yes.
How far did you get on disc 3?
I did not start disc 3.
Okay, you didn't start... Okay, yeah. I got to 3-6. You got to...
I think I was in the middle of disc 2.
You said you were past the snipers, but you were to, like, the guys zipping in the windows.
Yeah, and dudes with armor with machine guns.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. The guys zipping in with submachine guns through the window.
And well, then... no, but I had some occurring, like, in the levels... I think.
Oh, so past the first time, but they were just existing.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, the later half of disc 2 is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
And then you beat the game.
I finished it. Okay. Did anyone get to 4?
No.
Be glad.
I got to 3-6, and there was on 3-6, there's a part of the level that is an enormous open field with sparse buildings, shotgun guys and flamethrower guys.
Yep. That part sucks.
And it was like there was a part of me that went, okay, I could do this 40 more times and eventually get RNG placement of the enemies that's favorable enough to me that I can get through that section, or I can stop playing this game because it's making me really mad and I'd rather play XCOM.
Right.
So that's my decision that I came to. Do you want to share what decision made you end that your playthrough?
My decision to end the playthrough is that I had to play the game this morning and then I had to come here. So
okay.
So I was in a forced stopping position.
Got it.
Okay.
In the game. But
see, that's an amateur mistake that a lot of us have made in the past, you know, so we can understand that.
I mean, at least I was like, game's fresh, you know?
Yeah.
I just played it.
Sure.
Yeah, I finished it last
and that's
week.
What we all, that's fair. That's what we all told ourselves, too. We've been there. It's okay.
Yeah.
And then, Owen, what were you saying?
I mean, I just found... I found the game not frustratingly difficult in the sense that, like, oh, this game makes me so mad, but just, like, this game is difficult to the point where I'm not enjoying it.
Yeah.
But I really like everything else about it. Like, yeah. It's very nice to look at. Yeah. Like, even the minute-to-minute action I enjoyed doing, I just wish my ape didn't fucking die so much.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's
even finishing the game, I feel exactly the same way.
Yeah. And so, like, I hit this point in the game where, I think about when we did Mr. Shifty,
mm-hmm.
where, like, if you go back and listen to me talk about that game in that episode, like, I'm just mad at that game. Like, I hate it so much because I made myself play it all the way to the finish, and, right. and this is, like, a similar kind of game.
Right.
And I didn't want to fucking talk about this game
that's
like
that.
Fair.
Like, that's fair.
Like, it's neat, but...
So, the things that you missed...
So, I watched some stuff on YouTube. I watched, like, the YouTube videos I found had it broken up into 5 sections, and I watched, like, the last 2.
Yeah.
I watched the ending, and I saw some of the enemies in the middle.
Before you start talking about Rocket Launcher Dudes, I want to say a couple things.
Well, there was something you barely missed.
Okay. I really enjoyed Hotline Miami. Like, that was a game, to me, that was, like, a large part of the reason, like, oh, yeah, I'll try this game, and a large part of the reason I enjoyed Mr. Shifty so much.
Right.
And so, 2 things happened when I played this game. There was occasional spots where I would hit, like, a parkour flow of, like, knowing what to do moment to moment, and it was really fucking good when that was happening. And that's what kept me playing the game up till that point, trying to find those moments. They were really, really few and far between, but when they were hitting, they were...
When it's good, it's good.
Hitting, man. It was good. The RNG way that the levels are created and the enemies are placed, I think, hurts this game immensely. As far as me wanting to play it. I don't want to say that that's a bad choice overall for the game. I understand why you did it, because the whole game is supposed to be procedural and, like, you're supposed to... You want to constantly be having to react rather than having planned ahead. Right? Mm-hmm. So that the music makes sense, the whole, like, bebop mentality. And then, third thought...
Well, also, you're, like, a panicked, escaped animal, so, like, that's clearly what they're going for.
Right, right. And there was moments of visceral rage where, like, you know, when I throw one of those scientist guys that chase you with the pistol mm-hmm. out a window, I fucking feel it, man! Like, it feels good to throw that human being out of a window.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and that's another thing that I would say was a major positive in this game's corner, but then you were gonna say...
So, like, I think you stopped at 3-6.
Mm-hmm.
I think at 3-7... bombs start dropping in those levels.
Okay.
Which is actually helpful in those levels
mm-hmm.
because they just start wiping out dudes in front of you or behind you.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And that, like, actually helps because those levels were really hard with the shotguns and the flamethrowers everywhere, because sometimes you punch a flamethrower guy into a shotgun guy right next to you and then they explode and you die. Sometimes, like...
Yeah, I found that shit really infuriating. Yeah. The bomb dudes.
Yep.
Yeah, that was really infuriating. The main thing with the flamethrowers and shotgun guys is that you need to employ two different strategies. Flamethrower guys, you can't run directly towards.
Right.
Shotgun guys, you have to.
Right.
And flamethrower guys, you want to grab. And shotgun guys, you want to shove.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's like, I'm having to rapidly switch between these two things in these open engagements where there's no cover.
Right.
So I'm having to... I have no time to think or switch gears mentally.
Right. What's in front of me?
I just have to do it, yep. right? And it's like, I couldn't quite get there.
Yeah.
As far as the timing's necessary.
What did we all play this on?
I played on Switch.
Okay, me too.
PC. Well, that's good. I played it on PC.
Did you use a controller, I'm assuming?
At first I started using a mouse, and I found the game incredibly frustrating, and then I plugged in a controller, and it was like, this is great.
Yeah.
I love this.
Controller was good.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually had to reboot my Switch twice to get the game to run.
Oh,
really?
Okay. Yeah, like, the initial loading screen got stuck twice.
No.
I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to play it at all.
In the fourth level, they add in rocket launcher guys. And they bring about the thing I wish this game had, which is I wish I had a dash. Not even, like, a long dash.
Mm. You sort of do. When you shove in a vacuum, you can dodge bullets.
And there's a little bit of movement to that.
Yeah.
But I want, like, a bumper button that makes me move twice that.
Like a Dark Souls roll. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I want. And I don't even need it to be, like, constant. Like, maybe it has a recharge or something. But rocket launcher guys... At certain angles and distances, you can't do anything about them.
That goes back to my problem of the RNG.
Yep.
It's like, there are certain situations that you can just random into that are impossible to get out of.
And so that's where, That's where a tiny dash, an ability to move myself a little bit
right.
out of that situation.
Like would... a Cho'Gall shove or the fish roll
right,
from Nuclear
right.
Throne.
It doesn't need yeah. to be big. It needs to be quick. And I need to be able to do it at a different axis than what I'm getting shot at.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the two important things about it.
The game felt like they focused really heavily on tuning the art and the music and
yeah.
like everything surrounding the actual gameplay.
Yeah.
And there's just like little bits and pieces in the gameplay that were sort of left behind that never got tuned.
Right.
Like for me, what was really infuriating was the hit and hurt boxes were a little strange. Like
yeah.
they don't actually extend all the way out to your fists. They,
right.
Like the hitbox extends a little bit past that. So if you're...
But the grab's a little short.
But the grab's a little short.
Yeah.
So if you're, like, pushing the scientists, you actually can push them way farther than you think you can. Because the hurt box extends so far out past your fists. And then in the earlier level where everything gets dark, it's just... Like, if you're going between the light and dark areas and your sprite is changing colors... it's really difficult to see where your fists are at all.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was just, like, running around swinging and missing everything in that area. So, yeah, there's tuning with, like, that and tuning with the RNG and that sort of stuff.
The thing about the map-wide RNG that sucks is it doesn't... There's no momentum to a level.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's no increased complexity through the level. Sometimes you get a pocket of 9 dudes at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so there's no, like... And I actually kind of agree with, like, you're a panicked animal, there's no room to breathe, and that's kind of intentional, but it's not fun.
Right,
in that way.
Fun.
Like
yeah.
yeah, but I found, happened to me a lot, is I would, like, when I would play, I would get towards the end of a level and not know it, and then I'd, like, screw up and die, and then it shows you that map.
Yeah, it shows you, like, how
close. Of your path, and I like that it shows you the little path that's very cute, except that every time that it shows me that I've died right before the end and I had no idea, it's just like, I don't want to play this.
Yeah,
right.
I felt like it was every time
yeah.
for me, too.
Even
you're either a third of the way through or you're
yeah,
right
yeah,
next
yeah.
to it. Like,
so, I, when I watched the YouTube videos of, like, the last, like, third of the game or whatever, mm-hmm. I would even get that feeling watching this person who is not me, when
yeah.
they would die close to the end of the level, I was like, I can't watch this.
So can I tell you two a story of something that happened to me that's even more frustrating, I feel, than the thing you're describing? So on 3-4, I believe, there is a chain link fence in the middle of the level.
Oh, yep.
And the chain link fence has one entry point to it, and it leads to the other half of the level. Now, you know how buildings stretch based on where you are? If you're right next to the chain link fence, it is 1 pixel wide and you cannot see it.
Oof.
So you've essentially, like, if I ran into it without knowing it was there,
yeah.
and so I essentially was like, why can't I proceed forward? There's literally no barrier between
right.
me and
invisible
moving
wall.
Forward. That's literally that I've run into an invisible wall. And then by the time I had ascertained that there was a doorway to my south that I needed to go to, there's 3 guys on me. They've shot me. I was at 1 health. I'm dead.
Yeah.
So it was like, that was almost a throw your controller moment for me. Like,
mm-hmm.
the game straight up fucking tricked me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
well, and to say that I finished the game does not mean I wasn't frustrated.
Sure.
Like, I pushed through a lot, but, like, I played it in 2 sessions, and I definitely, like, there were moments I wanted to bounce my controller off the floor, like...
And there's something to be said for, like, frustration leads to greater triumph, and, like, you know...
I didn't feel like I earned it, though.
But again, the RNG takes
right,
away from that,
right?
Right,
right.
So, like, yeah, I just...
I felt like I just got good runs, and
right.
that's how I got
right,
through.
Right, exactly.
Instead of it being like, oh no, you figured out the complexity angle here, and you got through it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I definitely, like, all of disc 2 for me was spamming the shove button, because I realized about half the time when I'm shoving, I'm immune to bullets.
Yep.
Because I'm dodging.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just like, I would just sprint through each floor.
Plus, like, you can shove a dude and he's not shooting you.
Yep.
And he's not lining you up.
Yep.
And you can get through the next room.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot of that where I'm like, yeah! It just runs more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the hardest parts for me were the points, like, where you'd walk into a room and there's 7 people and you're like, okay, I'm grabbing the first guy and you guys are gonna shoot him and then I'm gonna kill a few of you and like, oh no, that guy's too far away and like...
Yeah, but then there's parts on those levels where the first... You walk into a room, there's 9 guys, the first guy you grab is a bomb guy, you pull him onto you and before you can throw him,
they
shoot him
you,
and you
yeah.
both
yep.
explode, which is a one-hit
yep.
kill, not a one hit off of your 2 points of life.
Right.
Like everything else is in that game. So right. It was inconsistency there, right?
Or anytime you hit an explosive guy into someone else,
right.
They explode.
I guess there's another inconsistency there, because I thought if you get shot by the scientist, it actually doesn't take as much health. So you can get shot multiple times, like more than two times
there's
by
three.
Scientists.
Yeah. There's three hits, but
some guns
the shotgun more. Guys hit you more than once.
I didn't know that. I thought and it was the, two.
Yeah, and you can tell by the blood trail. So,
like, no, I know you could tell like how damaged you were by the blood trail, but I thought it was one, you're okay. Two, you're going to die if you get hit again. And yeah. Then three, you're dead.
When you get shot by a scientist and you haven't been shot yet, mm-hmm. You're dropping like tiny droplets
bits,
everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And even, like, the regular rifle dudes are that way, but most of the time, by the time you're in a situation to figure that out, there's, like, five of them shooting you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did not.
Yeah, that never fucking occurred to me.
Yeah. No, it's actually three, but...
Scientist guys, after I realized what their attack pattern was, like, they're, like, boo ghosts with pistols.
Right.
Like, I was just like, I fucking hate these dudes with the fire, and when I saw them, I would go out of my way to kill them.
Yeah.
So.
There was a lot of corner dodging. Like, I started playing the corner dodging game, and that's where Third World fucked me up.
Yeah, Third World, you can't do that.
Because there's no corners to dodge. Yeah. And then Fourth World is this fucked up in-between of shipping containers. And so there's empty spots, there's big empty spaces, and then, like, containers you can dive into. And you can even punch through some of the doors on the containers, so you can sort of make your own door kind of thing. But the open spaces always have a shotgun guy and a rocket launcher guy.
Right.
So if you can't dodge the rocket launcher guy, or... Like, the worst is, you grab the shotgun guy, rocket launcher guy lines you up and fires, you throw this guy into the missile, but it's not far enough away and you still die, yeah. Right? Like,
yeah, I remember when I watched the video I watched of the end of the game of, like,
yeah.
The guy going up against these rocket launcher soldiers, I'm like, I'm really glad I didn't get this
the
far.
Sound cues.
I would have been so mad.
The sound cues on the rocket launcher guys, like, don't line up with when the rocket comes out of the tube or how fast they fly, so it's like this whole none of this syncs up, and I guess I'm just going to grit my teeth through it thing. Mm.
I think this game needed more time in the oven.
A little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, a quick dash would solve so many problems, mm-hmm. gameplay-wise.
I
need the ape to be able to be shot 10 times.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I need.
I'm into that.
I suck shit at these kinds of games.
I want to feel like a badass gorilla instead of, like, dudes carrying 50 cals. Like,
yeah. Yeah. We already talked about what was good about the game. Did anyone have anything to add about that?
I think when it works great.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that.
And the music and the visuals together
amazing.
Are
ridiculous.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love
so
that
cool.
Nothing is textured, that there's like this level of noise, of mm-hmm. visual noise that's applied mm-hmm. to everything. And I can never quite get a... grip on what the noise is supposed to look like, if they're like paint strokes or canvas or
paper textures.
Yeah,
it was like paper cut.
Yeah, it seems to change for different things. Like, right. That whole look is incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
the really stark contrasts are
like,
really cool.
I want to play a game that's not this style of game that looks like this, you right. know? Like, what if it's like a noir adventure game?
Or an
you
RTS.
Know? You know, yeah, like, how fucking cool would that be?
Right, yeah.
Another, like, high contrast art style.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah, like, it looks great. The sound design's great. You know,
oh,
it's got those
it
cymbal crashes.
It reminded me of that video
and...
you sent me of somebody fucking around with Borderlands engine while
oh,
they
yeah.
were playing it.
Yeah. There's a really cool... there's a video that Gearbox made, and it was in that period where they haven't announced Borderlands 3, but everyone fucking knows they're doing it.
Because mm-hmm. it's the only thing they make money on.
Yeah, and so he was showing their tech for Borderlands 3, and he was, like, disabling...
Oh, yeah, that is a cool
the
video.
The texture
where
layers.
Where they're like, UE4's crazy.
Yeah, he's like, disabling, like, the texture layers and stuff like that one by one. And there's one part in the middle where he, you know, Borderlands has that penciled-in edges on everything. Right. So it's just that without all the colored texture. So it all looks
like
hand-drawn comic books.
Shit. Yeah.
Like, it looks super
yeah.
rad. And it's like, you should just do that.
Yeah.
Like fuck all this other
do
stuff.
Do that with some hard shadows and let's go.
Yeah, like, that looks way cooler.
Yeah, I was saying it looked like that that Wii game. Not
Mad World.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like the Ultimate Spider-Man game had really good cell shading on it, too.
Sure.
Like, PS2 era.
All right.
Same sort of, like...
Stylish games.
Hard style.
Big fan?
13's coming back.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's coming back?
What? Yeah. They're, like, re-releasing it on PS4, I
as
think.
A, wait, as a remake, or...?
Like an HD remake,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I remember seeing that in PC Gamer and thinking it looked cool.
That game's hard. That game's French as fuck.
There was a lot in that, okay.
Yeah.
There was a few layers in there. It was a layer cake.
Maybe it's like a cult classic, I guess.
A lot of people liked
that. That game's French as fuck.
I liked it as a multiplayer game. I don't think I liked it as a single player game.
I think a lot of level designs in that game were unforgiving.
Yeah. Yeah.
They expected you to be the character, and you're not. And the controls don't allow you to be.
Yeah.
All right, reminds me of a lot of games from that era.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. Shit, man. I think we done did it.
Yeah, we kind of blew through this. Like,
I mean, like, Ape Out's really, really cool, but there's a lot to be frustrated about.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, does anyone have anything else to say about Ape Out or Devolver or the dev who made
this game?
Did you
guys have a hard time aiming your throws in this game?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So you played it on Switch and you didn't have a hard time. Okay, yeah.
Stick aiming?
I probably just suck at this then.
Were you?
Yeah, I know you. I know you can like point yourself, but like
that's what got me really going was like.
were you on Joy-Cons or a Pro Controller?
Mostly in handheld.
Oh, okay. I was playing on a Pro Controller, so I don't know if that changes anything.
Okay, I was really just fishing to see if I could blame it on my controller.
Yeah,
but like. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to make an edit and everything.
Oh, just fucking everything up for you.
All right. Well, it's that means it's time for the bad standards. How many Payday 2s out of 5 does this game get? Now, before we say anything, I want
you
to walk blindly into this fire.
Payday 2s.
How many Payday 2s out of 5?
I've never played Payday 2.
Well, then give it a number.
Okay.
Do your best. Don't lose.
Oh, do your best, don't lose. Yeah. How do you mean, Ippo?
Payday 2 is not really my kind of game, so it's going to be like a 1.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. What do you guys think?
I'm going with a 4.
Okay.
I'm going to go with 3. Because, right. like, this game is extremely into its own bullshit.
It's big, dumb fun.
Yeah, Devolver is, like, traditionally brings stuff that hits on a 3 or a 4 on Payday 2 with us.
Yeah, wow, oh, Aaron. What the fuck?
On
don't get you started?
No.
I would actually very much like to get you started.
Curious.
I'm kind of tired of Devolver's bullshit.
Okay.
Like, I feel like, so most publishers...
Do you think it's like a smokescreen, or...?
No, I think most publishers want to fill out a full catalog of games, and of different styles and genres, because they have to be able to reach a bunch of different markets, and Devolver is like, no, we like pixels, and we like the 80s, and that's pretty much the majority of what we like.
Is it a kitschy indie game? We're doing it.
Yeah, exactly. I think Ape Out was a great grab for them. That was an incredible game that they got. But for the most part, they feel like they're like 50-50 on what they get, because they don't give a shit about what people actually like. They give a shit about what Devolver likes.
Sure. That's fair. Yeah.
So they pick up weird games like Scum.
What is that?
Scum is a battle... Nah, is it a battle royale? It's more like DayZ.
Yeah.
But it's like... hardcore realist.
It's like hard sim.
Like, oh, like you can gain and lose weight. And...
I think I watched some of this being played. Your character craps in this game, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you can loot your crap.
Yep. You have to like watch your metabolism. And...
It's got a lot of meters.
Yeah. I had a lot of YouTubers try this game for one episode and not come back to it, is what happened.
It's like that. Yeah. 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 It's that game. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm tired. I just don't... Just get a new thing. Fuck.
I don't think they're going to.
They've been doing the same thing for, like, 8 years. Yeah. Like, it's time to evolve a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I don't think they're going to do that.
All right. It's fine. They can do their own thing.
Devolver should evolve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. How many Spelunkies out of 5, Aaron?
Ooh. So was that a 3 or a 4?
That was a 3.
Okay.
Because 2 people agreed.
No, that's fair. Yeah. I was...
We're still going to do the triumvirate, even
no,
though
that's...
Aaron's here. Yeah,
I'll give it a 3. I hold Spelunky very high.
So does Owen, and so does Keenan. Spelunky's... I don't, but they do, and that's why it's on the list.
I'll give it a 3.
Yeah, okay. What do you guys think?
I can agree on 3.
Yeah, there's part of me that wants to give it a 2. Mm. Just because, like, Spelunky's got polish. It's got so much...
That's so much of what Spelunky is.
From the standpoint of the RNG, like, Spelunky has nailed the shit out of the RNG.
Yeah.
I think it has tighter parameters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For what it's doing.
For sure.
I can go with a 3, though. On
I think, like, stylistically in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like, well, it shows you what it is, and we're doing it. Right?
I think Owen raised some good points, and I'm going to agree with him, but ultimately, what I say does not matter. So, we're moving on. Fallout New Vegas. How many Fallout New Vegas is out of 5? Does this game get... Some of these aren't going to hit. It's okay.
It wasn't designed to be, like, at all absorbable. This isn't a robust
system. This is just a system to encourage discussion.
Like a 4, I guess.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, back that up.
Yeah.
Again, it's just not... Like, I will go play a Fallout and fuck around in it for a while, and then, like, I'm good. I'm good. That's fine.
All right.
So, I feel... But I don't know if I would get any replayability out of Ape Out.
Sure. Once you know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What do you guys think?
I'm going to give it, like, a 0.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, like, I'm on the fence about a 1, but, like, I don't have any justification for it.
Just because of the unpolished nature of it at release, I am going to go with a 1.
With a modern, modern Fallout thing.
No, actually, I'll go with a 1. Yeah. The Obsidian seal of quality. Like, I love Obsidian, but, like, come on.
Come on, guys. Come on, guys. All right, this is going to be a fun one. How many TIE Fighters?
Yeah.
Original, so like, floppy disk game, flight sim.
You know, TIE the tattoo fighter. Rank?
Yeah.
Yeah.
2.
Ooh.
Give it a 2.
Back that up.
So, for me, this is like a nostalgia category, right?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I guess that's...
Yeah, you can do that if you want to.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's up to your interpretation. Would I have any nostalgia for Ape Out? Maybe. I might remember it in, like, 10 years and go, hey, that was a really cool game that came out.
I bet in 10 years I will remember this game way more fondly than I do right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like that's maybe the case with TIE Fighter. All
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
So, you said 2?
2.
All right. What do you guys think?
I come back with a 2.
Yeah.
You're one thing with low odds against many other things.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some thematic elements.
Yeah,
there. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. But how many Payday 2s does Time?
My ape doesn't have. My ape doesn't okay. have hyperdrive.
That's for 2019
Look,
New Year's.
My like, ape doesn't have hyperdrive or shields. In the inevitable sequel, I will be much more survivable.
The ape will have
yep.
hyperdrive
and shields. Yeah,
it will have a hyperlight drift.
Ape, yo, double front ape. Let's go.
No. It's ape wing versus Tie Fighter.
Yep. Bennett Foddy would
yeah,
be
yeah,
down.
Give me yeah. Bennett Foddy's number. I got a $1 million idea for him.
Also put it in a bucket. I have thought 10 minutes ago and I forgot about it and I just remembered it now. This game would benefit from a developer's commentary, especially focusing on why we made X design decision.
I think
them like, talking over that game
especially
could be cool.
Since usually in commentary modes you get made invincible.
Yeah. So, like, I think if Bennett Foddy explained to me why he did things the way that he did, I would be less mad at the
video
game.
Well, he's just
game.
The art guy.
Yeah. He was just there. Good.
Okay, whatever. I don't care.
I'm sure he could have put in some design.
Right, right. Sure. But, like, understanding the design choices yeah, that went into why the game
Having the devs explain to me why the fuck the game is this way would, instead of me just having to guess, would be beneficial for my mental health.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Why was Ape Out so hard? That's me next week. Like, ah!
All right, Alpha Centauri.
Never played Alpha Centauri.
Doesn't
so,
matter.
Fucking, I'm going to go with
That's
a nice...
That's not what it's about.
Somewhere Middle Ground 3.
Okay.
All right.
Play a nice non-criminal 3. Yeah. And please, back that up.
Oh, fuck. I don't know.
Okay. Do you feel like the 3 would just, like, not offend us? Is that what you did that?
Yeah, I think so. Right. I hear the words Alpha Centauri, and I'm like, oh, this crowd has played this game.
I actually haven't, for the record.
Okay. These two.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've read and heard enough about it
a
to respect it.
A large part of my freshman year in college was a lot of Alpha Centauri. I was like, wow, ideologies exist? I didn't know. Right.
Thanks, so, Sid Meier.
Yeah, thanks. That was awesome.
Also, let's go take the Bahamas.
Okay, well, okay, so let's take it back and say, ideologically, Ape Out. Where does Ape Out fall on the ideological scale?
Mm-hmm.
Casting off the chains of your oppressors.
Yeah. If a 3 is reasoning that it's better than what's that other game we played about escaping?
What?
fucking not
Duskers?
No, you turn into a blob.
What? Slime Rancher. No, I'm just kidding.
Inside.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Inside where you're getting out, but it's better.
Do me a favor. So that's a hate word around here. You can't say that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I missed that episode.
Yeah, we don't like Inside.
Really?
No, all three of us panned it. We hated it a lot.
Mostly because you have to fail to succeed.
That was a big point.
That's like the big thing. Like most of the puzzles, you either fucking die from it or you see it right away.
I guess so. That was my game of the year.
Do you want to listen to our episode?
Right? Yeah, I'll back to us? Okay. Yeah. I had a lot of things I liked about it, but the gameplay was not fun to me.
Listen to the episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll come back on another one when you talk about it.
Yeah.
In defense of Inside.
So the only reason Eric comes back on our stupid fucking podcast is so he can be like, you're wrong about it.
It's a new segment, The Guest's Rebuttal.
No, and that's the funny thing about us rating Inside. It was like super low on our GOTY list too. Like it was pretty
We got pretty soured by it.
Yeah, because there was a bunch of like broken games, and then there was like Inside, right?
Inside was above it because it finished its job.
Because it was like it actually did its design goals, right? Yeah. But yeah, like everybody we talked to who's friend of the podcast, who's not Steven, we're like, oh yeah, we all hated Inside. And they're like, what? How? The game is a beautiful baby, right? Yeah. And they're just like mad about it. Anyway, Alpha Centauri, what do you guys think? Everyone but Aaron.
I'll give it like one.
Yeah, it's like a one. It's like the Robert E. Howard of philosophical arguments. It's civilized versus not.
To
like
answer Aaron's question, I think the ape is a capitalist.
not the scientists and the soldiers and the
No. They're all authoritarians. The ape is a capitalist and he's a libertarian, he's an ANCAP.
He believes in the free market.
Yeah, he believes in the free market solutions. The free market solutions. I'm holding my fists up.
Is the ape a railroad magnate?
So I'm gonna, yeah, yes.
That's why he needs out. There's business to run.
He's gonna pull himself up by his bootstraps.
They don't tell you that the ape's name is Atlas. That would be too on the nose.
Yeah.
It's up to you to figure that out.
You'd get it too early if they did that.
Top hat, suspenders, ape out.
All right. I'm gonna go with the two.
Okay.
Yep. Well, and Owen, I said one. You said one, so it's Owen, it's up to you.
I said one.
Oh, okay, cool. So we're at one. All right. There we go.
Cool. I'm gonna stick with my three.
Your horseshit three over here.
That's like I recently ran into the rating scale of on a scale of 1 to 10, no sevens. And the point is like sevens the non-committal it was good without it being like actually good.
I can get behind that, yeah.
Well, shamefully, 8 out of 10.
This is like, right, right. Like some fucking like video game review score.
Well, no, like I don't know. It's an interesting idea. If you want like an honest answer, you say no sevens, right? Like, don't take that dumb safe number in the middle. Like,
yeah. Okay. So, Owen, what are we playing next week?
Oh, we're gonna play Hypnospace Outlaw.
Wow. All right. I don't know what the hell that is.
It's a game about browsing the internet and then 90s.
Oh, okay, I know what that is. Yeah, universe. I know what that is now. All right, I really wasn't expecting to play that game. All right, so that's that. One more time for the people who weren't fucking listening the first time, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter, GDNWS_, or my game Cerebral, cerebral.in.
And then where can they find us?
You can find us at shame.business or shame.club.
All right.
And if you want to contact us, you can reach us at badplaystyle@gmail.com or at badplaystyle on Twitter.
Yeah. And I'm raising the stakes yet again. If you tweeted us at
badplaystyle,
then we will send you a game code.
Yeah. We got some game codes!
Yeah, we have a spreadsheet of orphaned game codes from Humble Bundles.
Nice.
Nice. And we'll send you one.
And you will receive a game that you may own.
And I will make sure that it's not a shit game, okay? So, like, the first five people that tweet us will receive games. That's what I'll say. And that wraps it up. But now is the time for the best part of the entire podcast, which is Sam Fisher Presents Who Versus Guybrush Threepwood Edition. So Guybrush Threepwood is thrusting the ape out.
That's a hell of a title.
Guybrush can't break out of the glass box at the beginning.
Yeah.
And there's no items to interact with.
There's nothing to click on, so he's just in a box. But eventually his girlfriend saves him.
Okay. Yeah.
That's where I'm at with it.
Cracks a joke somewhere.
Yeah. What do you think, Aaron? Do you think that's accurate?
He's trying to yuck it up with the guards.
Sounds about right, yeah.
But they don't have voice lines.
So. Yeah.
Basically trying to socially engineer the guards.
Yeah. Who are not social.
Yeah.
It's like trying to socially engineer the Marines in Half-Life. It's just not...
Why do you keep rhyming? What, we're not on a boat? All right. Well, thanks for listening, folks. It's been Bad Play Style. See you next time.
Later, y'all.
Farts and kisses.
Music is composed by my good friend Benjamin Busey, and you can find more of his music at soundcloud.com/BucciBay, which is spelled BucciBae.
I thought it was pronounced Bucky.